Welcome to Swiss Info, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello and thanks for joining us. I'm Dale Bechtel. This was not a week to be a Swiss government minister, or even a presidential candidate in a foreign country, especially if you're a politician with Swiss roots. Putting it all together for us will be this man and his partner.
We really invent. We are like Bob the Builder. We are constructing things.
Switzerland's very own Bob the Builder and his weird and wonderful creations will take this program's final curtain call. But first, the news and the big story of the week, Haiti. An earthquake measuring 7 on the Richter scale devastated Port-au-Prince on January 12th. The death toll is expected to run into the tens of thousands. According to the Red Cross, about 3 million people were either injured in the disaster or left homeless. Even though the airport remains operational, getting search and rescue teams and emergency aid to Haiti is proving to be a huge task due to the country's poor infrastructure. For this reason, Switzerland said it would be futile for it to send a search and rescue squad. It was a hard decision to make, said the head of the Swiss Humanitarian Aid Division, Tony Frisch.
I never had such difficulty saying no. It's easier to say yes, but when 70 or 100 people are sent but can't land in Port-au-Prince, then you would have asked me why we hadn't taken that factor into account since we knew how difficult the situation was. The reality is the following. We had no guarantee that they would get to Haiti in time to help.
Instead, Frisch said Switzerland was focusing its efforts on sending temporary shelters, medical supplies, and water purification material. David Dandres from Terres Hommes, a Swiss-based charity focusing on children's rights, told Swiss Info that not only poor infrastructure was an obstacle to aid deliveries.
And the security, of course, which is an enormous problem in Port-au-Prince specifically and in the area. Before the earthquake, for instance, it's unsafe for an expatriate to travel alone in certain areas of Port-au-Prince. For example, the delegates of Terre des Hommes will never walk in some places in the city center. We'll have to take a car with a driver. So you have like a level of insecurity in town, which is quite high.
In domestic politics, the cabinet was trying to put out fires on two different fronts this week. On January the 13th, President Doris Leuthard said the government did not shirk its responsibility 1 year ago when information on hundreds of UBS bank clients was handed over to the American authorities. At the time, the cabinet gave decision-making powers to Switzerland's financial regulator. The regulator's move to transfer the data has now been ruled illegal by Switzerland's administrative court. On the second front, Communications Minister Moritz Leuenberger was called before a parliamentary commission to defend the appointment of Claude Begley as chairman of Swiss Post. Begley's naming led to the resignation of the Post's CEO and two board members. Begley has been criticized for his strategy to expand abroad. There was a double whammy for Geneva Airport this week. On January 13th, a day after ground staff ended their strike, the airport was closed again for a few hours, this time by heavy snowfall. Basel Airport was also out of operation. Turning to international affairs again, Switzerland has been playing a rather unusual supporting role in Chile's presidential elections. The Swiss were criticized for giving Chile's former president and 2010 presidential candidate, Eduardo Frei, Swiss citizenship. The Swiss naturalization authorities were accused of giving Frei preferential treatment since he has never had close ties with the homeland of his grandfather. Well, it wasn't the Haiti earthquake or Eduardo Frei that Swiss Info readers were most interested in. We received feedback about the Pope, taxes, and the humble bee. Henning had this to say about the Pope's decision to forgive the Italian-Swiss woman who attacked him on Christmas Eve.
Speaking as a foreigner with an interest in Swiss news, the only time we hear stories in the foreign press about Switzerland, it is always highly negative. Recently the Polanski case, the UBS scandal, the Swiss army deaths, the Bern bear attack, the apology to the Libyans, etc. I could go on, but is there ever any positive story coming out of Switzerland?
CJ Coates responded to a story published on January 12th about a move by some Swiss cantons to pardon tax cheats in order to recuperate money.
Switzerland should do anything it can to help able workers to make money, save money and bank money. When the government is adult and respects that money cannot be printed by the workers, they should offer the best taxes possible to them, with the minimal paperwork. When this is done, the country that is the most encouraging will attract the hardest workers and sharpest minds. To be a smart government is not to govern with a set of jail keys, but to govern with the best business climate.
Hannes Paulus chose to add to our story on the animal of the year, which is the long-horned bee.
Good idea to proclaim an insect of the year. As far as I know, there is another species insect of the year 2010, black and red froghopper, a small cicad.
Hoping that bees will still be around to enjoy this honour.
Vera Gottlieb said, adding her 2 cents. While you listen to this music, just imagine you're watching a group of oddball characters doing their best to stay upright on a floor that tilts precariously like a ship on the high seas. That's how the Financial Times described this week's performance at the London International Mime Festival by the troupe led by Swiss duo Martin Zimmermann and Dimitri DePero. Their award-winning production, Operapis, or Someone Something, is a fast-paced and edgy exploration of everyday activities through visual arts, acrobatics, music, and dance. The moves of the performers are driven by a live soundtrack that DePero produces from a couple of turntables at the side of the stage. Andrew Littlejohn caught up with Zimmermann and DePero just ahead of the opening night performance of Operapis at London's Barbican Theatre.
Attention, derrière.
We just watched a couple of scenes from the production Oper Opus. What does Oper Opus actually stand for?
This is Swiss German because we are both from Zurich. And it means
somebody, something.
Maybe Dimitri is somebody and me, I'm just something.
What interested us is what are the relationships between people? Why do we search relationships? Is it to feel secured about ourselves that we are here, that we need partners? Or is it that we search in the partner maybe things that we don't have to fill holes somehow?
It's just a dream world which everybody can imagine what he wants to see, or he also can dream with that. And the scenery is also moving like actors.
The precision, the absolute concentration coming from the performers, it was so intense. But then the stage, the set starts to move. The props start to move, the walls start to move. It was so unpredictable. You're sitting on the edge of your seat thinking, do they actually know what's coming next?
Yes, somehow it's what we like in how we watch the world and how we want to tell it, is to say we all don't know where we are coming from. We are born somehow in a situation and in a city, in a country, in a culture, and we have to deal with this. And however we manage these feelings and go to life, they are really strong, and this is something we like to tell through the stage set, who is always a living place, a living room that takes away to our figures on stage the first security they have, who is the floor, who is the world. So they have to adapt, they have to go further. And we think that's the main thing in life, is to keep being interested in going further, discover new things, being tolerant, being able to laugh about life. This is the only way that we can build together and go further with this world.
I try to make something really precisely, which we all need and we all like to do, to be sure where we are. And if we have an order, maybe we know more where we are, but it's not true. It's just something we think it's true.
So you're saying there's no real order in life?
If there would be order, if there would be balance, life wouldn't be interesting. So I think it's good that there is always, if you do order, it's always a try to do order, to catch this, what is life. And it's a chance that it never works, that always it's different than what you expect. Mm. So you need to be open, to go further. I think this is really, really important.
Thank you. And then alongside the stage production, we've got Dimitri in the corner throwing LPs onto the stage and across the stage and throwing yourself across the stage and scratching the music.
Yeah, I compose all the music. Our whole world, theatralic world of Martin and me, we really invent. We are like Bob the Builder. We are constructing things. And this story came out of 6 months of really intensive work where we were really close, where we really searched into each other, into what humans can be today, what we are today. And we do a really long work on creating strong personage who can tell something without having words. Things like movement, like Martin can do it, or like the music, like I do it, they are really intense for us because we are not people from the word. We are people from the image, from the sound, from the energy, from the feelings. This is where we can really express ourselves and how we also want to touch the people.
Martin Zimmermann and Dimitri DePero talking there to Andrew Littlejohn. That's all for this week's show. To download a podcast or to find out more about what's happening in Switzerland, go to swissinfo.ch. From me, Dale Bechtel, and the rest of the Swiss Info staff here in Bern, bye for now.